Tanya.
Mike Jensen.
We're back. We're here.
We are, aren't we?
Yes, we were not here last week because life happened and too much was going on. Yeah. I don't know what you want to talk about. How have your 2 weeks been? Anything you want to talk about?
We had two birthdays, kids' birthdays.
Yeah.
I was by myself. Not by myself. I had my family. My parents came. And, you know, just doing stuff for them was... It is what it is. You know, you're just trying to make people happy, but also not like... my husband and I decided we weren't going to do birthdays for them because he was out of town for both of them. And we were going to take them maybe to like Disneyland. And we're also doing a fun New York trip, you know, like, so that was going to be like our present because we're going to do a lot of fun things. But of course, I couldn't help myself. And so my daughter, we went to Buca de Beppo with 14 of her closest friends. No, I'm kidding. But like, you know, we went to Buca de Beppo, which was actually a really good spot for feeding a lot of people. And it was cute. They were like, they're like all like 10, 11, 12 year olds, sort of acting, you know, sort of being good and whatever. I mean, my mom had to like go into the bathroom where one of the kids, well, like four of them were like turning off the lights and screaming and doing dumb shit like that. And there was, have you been to a Buca de Beppo? It's like,
I don't think so.
It's a chain, but it's like an Italian spot where it's like family style Italian food in very large quantities. It'll make you sick. Well, you can't eat it. They actually probably have gluten free. But anyway, they have pictures. It's very tchotchke all over. You know, it's like a grandma's house or something. And in the bathroom, there's like naked pictures of some ladies in the ladies' bathroom. And so I had to be like, fun, cool. I get to make sure all the parents know that the kids saw some. I mean, they were all like vintage stuff, but the one that was the most like disturbing was it was a picture of a fountain and it was a lady's boobs with like water flowing out of it. It was pretty graphic and sort of disgusting. But you know, whatever. The kids were like, "Ew, my God!" So that was fun. And then my son has been playing hockey. Did we talk about this?
Huh, I don't think so.
So Adam, my husband, played hockey for years, like as a little wee child. And right before we met, he quit and got injured. I don't really know what happened, but something big happened. He was playing a lot. But he's a hockey player. And I was like, yeah, he's going to help Calvin with all the hockey stuff. Well, he's been gone for the month. And so I had to like, it's so hard to put on all the gear. It's like 20 layers of things. And you have to get everything right. It's intense. And I am so excited to not have to do that once he comes back. It's just ridiculous. Mike, it's like I am my back is breaking as I'm like taping his third sock on. I don't really even know. It's so stupid. There's like, I mean, obviously they want to keep him safe. That's why they do it. And so good for them. But anyways, that happened. And then it was his birthday and I took just him and one friend. And we went to a place that was like arcade, but they also had like, you know, car racing and they had... mini golf, and we were behind this like, oh, so awkward, Mike. We were behind this couple that they were older, but it was like clearly like maybe their second date. And my son and his friend were like up these people's asses. I'm like, they really should just let us pass. Oh, God. It was just awkward conversation. And like Calvin would sit there while the girl like would like hit her ball. And if she got it in, he'd be like, yeah. And I was like, oh God, they were fine. I think honestly, you could tell she was not as into him, I think. And so she was like, no, they're great. Like, don't leave us kind of situation. But anywho, when that was done, I had to pull him out of the arcade kicking and screaming when he had not eaten properly. Anyways, he told me he hated me and that he will never hug me again. So that was super fun. And then obviously he felt bad and gave me a hug and I didn't let it bother me. But those are the things where you're just like, oh my God, I do so much for you. That's so mean shit.
Right.
But maybe he'll remember later and feel bad when he's an adult. I don't know. Maybe not. I'm not sure. But the worst, it is what happened. But last week, that's so fucked up. My daughter, she's in sixth grade, and people are not supposed to have phones. Like, you can have a phone, but it has to be in your bag, and they keep their bags outside of the class. And anyways, before class, it was on September 11th, some kid was like, hey, Amelia, you want to see a really funny video? And then showed her, like, the graphic video of that guy getting shot, like, the one that was up close. Did I tell you this?
No, you didn't.
It was awful. I couldn't remember if I texted you or not about it. I was just trying to like get through each day with these kids. And she was like super traumatized because it's like, honestly, I texted a group of friends who have all kids in the same grade, and I didn't know who saw it. Like, this kid showed like 30 kids, but there's like 80 kids in their grade, whatever. Anyways, I texted them, well, I really honestly thought I was going to have the porn video talk before having the watch a murder video talk. So, but they have, you know, the school has a good social worker, and she slept with me, you know. She's like, I can't stop seeing it. And I'm like, ah, fuck, it's so gross. It's upsetting because it's real, you know. It's not like I can't be like, oh, it's just a movie, it's just fake, you know. And so we right. lived with that. And then I didn't see it because I actually ended up taking all social media off my phone because I was like, oh my God. I put it back on and take it off, like daily, basically.
Sure.
But that week, because I was like, I don't want to see anything that's upsetting like that. And she was like, Mom, can you just watch it? And I was like, of course, babe. You know, she wanted me to see what she saw. And I was like, well, now that's going to stick with me. Great. So yeah, that was all last week, and but we're very excited. Adam's gonna be home by the time you're listening to this, and fuck yeah, man. It's almost a month since he's been gone. So
that's crazy.
I know. Yesterday I was like really like down. I was like, today I feel better. Because I like to freak out right before things get better. Like, I really like to completely lose my shit, like, in a big way. Like, but I cried, and I was like, I mean, I miss him, too. I really do. But it's just like, dang, it's been a while. And some people, yeah. when their partners go on set, you know, they're gone for 3 months or longer. But right. so 1 month is pretty good. But still, it's just, I'm like, ready. I'm ready to bring him
Where
home.
Where is he?
He's in Melbourne. Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wild.
How was your 2 weeks?
Yeah. It's been mostly okay. It's funny. I don't know if you can hear. I ended up getting a sinus infection. I tend to get sinus infections in the fall. I used to get them like every spring and every fall, like as it became more humid and then as it became less humid. Mm. And I'm very lucky that like now I get them like every other fall or so. And this one went through really fast. Like I want to say it was like Tuesday night. Or like Tuesday night into Wednesday morning that I kind of would, I was waking up and I was like, I'm going to be sick tomorrow. Like I could just tell it was happening. And it happened pretty quickly that like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like by Saturday, I was pretty much back to 100%. And then yesterday, like I felt, and then for some reason I woke up today and I just have a little bit of it back. And I'm not sure what that is, just like little residual where it's just in my chest a little bit. So hopefully that's not going to stick around for too long. The main thing that I was going to talk about is that I got to see Lady Gaga. I got to see.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And I'm pretty sure I told this story, so I'll tell it really quickly. But I had not been able to get tickets when they originally went on sale.
Yes.
And kind of like was like, well, the universe will make it so. And then a friend of mine, one of my very first friends that I made in New York City, my friend Ian, who we worked at a restaurant together called Josie's, like back in 2001. I think he was only there for, we kind of established we only worked together for like 2 years, I think, because then he was off to law school. And then, you know, that sort of thing where he ends up moving and he lives in New Orleans now, and we haven't really been in touch. Like, we kind of comment on each other's things from time to time. And he wrote a really lovely note about my first album that came out a while back. And he reached out, literally I was telling this story about not getting tickets to Annabelle, and then I got a text from him being like, hey, I'm coming to New York to see Gaga, I want you to come with me. And it was like really, really fun. And it was him and a couple of friends, that two of which were also going to the concert, so four of us went to the show together. And it was at MSG, which is such a cool space to be in.
Yeah,
because it's not too big. Like, our seats were really, really good, but in general, like, it's a really great arena to see things in. And the show is really cool. But kind of the story that I want to tell is like my behind the scenes scoop that I have.
Ooh.
Because only, you know, the 20,000 of us that were there that night know how this all went down. And that is, it was the night before the VMAs. And it was also that funny thing where they'd announced that she was going to be performing on the VMAs, but she had a date at MSG that night, the night of the VMAs. So there was kind of that thought of like, well, maybe it'll go live from Madison Square Garden. Like, we're not sure how that works. But no, they filmed it all the night before at the show that I was at. And it was funny because they sort of made an announcement that they were filming something, but no one really knew, or at least we didn't really know what was happening. And even the people behind us were like, what is going on? So I was very aware that the concert doesn't open with Abracadabra. But the way that the show opened was her in like that, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like this huge, there's like a huge dress, and she kind of like her head's like pops out the top of it. And then it's like an elevator that brings her down partway through. And so they did the number Abracadabra and then stopped, and the audience cheered. It was like, woo, amazing. And then they did it again. They did the exact same thing again. And you couldn't really hear all the things. But at some point I was like, oh, she's saying like, let's go VMAs or something like that, or let's go MTV. And so we're like, oh, they're filming for the thing for tomorrow night. That's so interesting. And then you could kind of hear her be like, all right, just two more things, and then we're going to start this show. But we were all like, what? Two more things? What are you talking about? So there was like a long pause, like 20 or 30 minutes of just nothing happening. And then they reset. And I thought, and those around me thought, that it was Gaga on the catwalk with her back to the audience doing like her little zombie dance thing as they went into The Dead Dance, her newer single. And then when we they did it once again, they recorded it twice. They did it and they did it again. And then that was over, and then it took a little while for the show to actually start, to the point where it's like, well, that was cool that we got to witness this, but like we were all kind of like ready for the actual concert to start at that point. And like, I will skip to the end and say like the concert was amazing. It was super, super fun. Like she did all of her hits and like a ton of new stuff, and it was very, very cool to see. But then it was funny watching it. So if you watch the VMAs, if you watch the clip of what the performance ended up being, that wasn't her on the catwalk. That was a different dancer. That was like, so they were able to cut from the end of the Abracadabra number to that dancer as it then segued into The Dead Dance. So when it looks like suddenly Gaga has a different wig and like is made up differently, that's because they had like a 40-minute break in between the filming of the first half and the second half. So I'm destroying the magic for you. But yeah, behind the scenes, it was kind of funny watching me like, oh, that's what was happening there. It was like a way to segue this to make you think that it was all done in one fail swoop, but it was actually two totally different numbers that were then spliced together. So if you watch it, you can totally tell. You can see like where it happens. But it was cool, yeah, and the show was really, really fun. I had such a good time. You know, it's one of those friends where you don't see each other for a really, really long time, and you don't know. Like, you don't know, like, oh, we haven't spoken in, like, over a decade, probably. And we were just friends again. Like, it was just oh my gosh, it's the two of us just hanging out and, like, talking about old times and, like, sort of catching up and, like, the big things that have happened since then and the little things that have happened since then. And it was super, super fun. And he really wants me to go down there for Mardi Gras.
You should. Next.
So I might. Yeah. Like I, you know, New Orleans is that city that I went to when I was like 16 years old. And I'm sure that I've mentioned the like 5-week road trip that I went on with my parents, which is what everyone wants to do when they're 16 years old. And we were in New Orleans for a full week. We were there for the week of 4th of July. And it was so hot and it was so humid. And at one point, like I stepped on a pig's nose. But yeah, I was like, what is my sandaled foot touching? Oh, that's a snout. It's a snout on the street.
Barf.
Yeah. And I was 16 and I was too young to do anything. And I remember thinking like, oh, I need to come back here someday. And then I've never been. Like, it's been, you know, 100 years and I've never been back. So it'd be nice to have that excuse to go down there and experience that. So we'll see if we can make it happen. But I would love to. Yeah, it was fun. So that was kind of, that was my big thing, was that I got to go to the Gaga concert and it was awesome.
That's amazing. I have to watch the clip of the VMAs again.
Yeah, it's a fun clip. Like, she's, you know, she's Gaga. She's a great live performer.
I love her.
And then I'm trying to think, like, I've been consuming so much, and I guess if I was going to say that I'm digging something, it's definitely not a recommendation because I know this isn't for everybody, but, you know, I don't know if you remember the PBS documentary that happened. I think it happened in like 1998 and then like 2001. And then there was another part that came out 2003, but it's a documentary about New York and it's Burns. And I can't think of his
Ken.
I don't think it's Ken though. I think it's his brother.
Oh.
Nick Burns, Eric Burns. I'm an asshole. I can't remember his first name. But it's really cool. And I own it on DVD. And it's one of those things that sometimes I'll just put on and just kind of like have play because I just love the New York history. And I love hearing the people talking about the history of the city. And I have recently, I shouldn't say discovered because I'd heard about it forever ago, but I just recently started listening to the Bowery Boys podcast, which are these guys that, also cover New York history. And they have like 500 episodes or something like that. And I don't know that I'll ever go back and listen to all of them. But sometimes I do like a little Bowery Boy roulette where I'll just like go, whoo, and like I'll just see where it lands and then I'll listen to that episode.
That's nice.
And there was an episode from like 2023 that was about this documentary and about the making of it and sort of how like it originally, like the first five, I think, parts had come out in 1998, and then it was supposed to be a 7-part series, but the next two parts weren't ready until 2001, and that they literally aired like either the month before or after the September 11th attacks, when it became very clear of like, oh, we're gonna have to do an eighth part, and it's gonna be about, because they hadn't even really covered, like they'd mentioned the World Trade Center, but they hadn't really covered. And so they did this eighth part that's like 2.5 hours long. That's about like that area before that existed and the building of that. And the, you know, it was interesting when my family visited recently, or it's 1.5 years ago now, and we went to the 9/11 memorial, that my Aunt Corrine was like, I don't know if this is okay to say, but I think the new building is so much prettier than the old buildings. And then I was like, no, here's the thing that we don't talk about. No one liked those buildings.
Like, right.
New Yorkers kind of hated them. They were kind of ugly and weird. Like they didn't really fit in anywhere. But of course, then it's so mournful. Like we mourn the loss of them when they weren't there anymore. And, you know, we're recording this the week after the, 24th. You know, 24 Crazy. Years since that day, and I was in the city for, like, I was living here at the time, and I worked in Manhattan at the time, and I worked that night, you know, this last week, September 11th, 2025, and I work really close to that site, so I walked down that night and just sort of like was there in the crowd, and it was, you know, it's always kind of overwhelming to be there, and I feel like I've lost my train a little bit, other than that. Listening to this interview and them talking about this 8-part series, where then they were saying like, well, and we've already finished the next, I don't know if it's one chapter or the next two chapters, that they were like, yeah, we're ready and they're going to be on PBS soon. And the companion book has been amended. Like we've added this chapter to the companion book. And so a couple things in that, I had bought the original companion book for my parents when they first visited New York, like in 2002 or 2003, it must have been. And I remember thinking like, oh, I want that book. Why don't I give that to my parents? And then, you know, I don't know what ever happened to it. It sort of disappeared. And I don't know if it got donated somewhere or maybe it got thrown out. But I was kind of sad. And then I heard that there was this new version. And I thought, oh, well, I'll buy that. That's really cool. In fact, I looked it up. And the new version exists. The new version exists. And it's kind of, it's like an $80 book. But I was able to find it used for like $9.95 and it arrived. And the only thing that's wrong with it is that it doesn't have a book jacket, which I'm like, that's fine. Yeah. Now, the crazy part is this documentary that was done 2 years ago still has not come out anywhere. Like I looked it up and like it's like to be determined as to when it's going to air. So I don't know what the holdup is there.
Strange.
It's all the way of saying this book is very cool. And the book covers what the next chapters will be, which is about my time in New York. Like it's all about like starting in the 90s. And I didn't realize that like 1990 was like the most violent year in the history of New York City. And then sort of about how like things turned in the 90s, largely because of things that Rudy Giuliani did that we now look back on and we're like, well, are those good? Are those bad? Like it got us where we are in so many ways, but also like put a lot of people in prison and punished a lot of people that probably didn't deserve it. And so it's been an interesting read to sort of like read this history of New York largely that takes place in the time that I've lived there. That was a very long dig in, but it's New York and Illustrated History. And it's a really cool book. Once again, not for everybody, but I've really enjoyed slowly going through it and reading about, you know, the last 25 years of New York City history. So
that's
for me. Anything that you're digging lately? Anything that's getting you through it?
I mean, you know what's getting me through it is planning for my trip to come see you. I have not been consuming much because I'm going to bed when the kids go to bed because they basically want to sleep with me. So I'm like, you have to go to bed early. Last night's the first night I stayed up till midnight.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Luxurious.
I know, but I've been so tired all day too. So I'm like, why am I tired? This is bullshit. But anyway, I'm really excited. I'm planning for that. Somebody was like, which it never crossed my mind, but somebody was like, well, aren't you nervous about going to New York? I'm like, I mean, no, why? They're like, well, isn't it? It's like way more dangerous. But I feel like people only see, you know, the people getting pushed and on the subway, and yet stuff happens all the time. It's just, I mean, I'm not nervous.
No, I mean, listen, as someone who lives here, everything, the violence and the scariness always is what gets emphasized. Like, I'm not any more nervous living in New York than I have been in any time that I've lived here. Like,
yeah,
just to be be aware, like look around, and there's a little bit more of like people that are behaving in strange manners. But like, I don't feel unsafe in New York. Yeah. Like, I feel very comfortable here.
We were trying to explain to the kids to like, you know, I didn't want to scare them, but I was basically like, don't stare at people. Don't make eye contact for people you don't know, you know, or like.
Right.
And Calvin last night, he was getting out of his bath and he was just like thinking about it and thinking about something. And I was like, what's up, buddy? He's like, I just don't understand. Why can't I make eye contact with people? He's so cute. I'm like, well, buddy, I mean, you can look at people. That's fine. But just like. The crazies, if you stare at them, they're going to be like, what's up? Let's hang out. And you don't want that from people who you don't want that from. But, I mean, we're staying, you know, sort of like in the main area where I'm not worried. I mean, listen, LA is not the most safe place either. So we still come across things where we're walking on the street down in LA and you're kind of like, okay, just walk this way. Stay close to me.
I've done a bit of that. There was the other day, yesterday, I was on a walk and there was this stairway that I was going to go down, and I was like, I'm just not going to walk down that stairway.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go another way around. Like, there were a lot of people that were maybe not having their best moment on this stairway, and I just thought, I don't need to go that way. I'll just go the other way instead, and that'll be okay. So.
Yeah, I forget about that. Navigating with kids is just a little different.
Sure.
Because even like, was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. I was walking with them, and there was, it was a couple days ago, but, you know, we were downtown, and it was like some real... like scary looking dude walking, definitely unhoused, and they are just too, my kids are too like, ah, la la, just doing their thing, and I'm like, motherfuckers, get over here. I'm like, stand on this side of me. I get like annoyed with them. I'm like, you guys have to be aware. That's the thing. You have to be aware.
Be aware. Yeah, that's what it is. It's just like looking around, being aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, you can't be too trusting. Just can't be. But I'm excited about planning for that. I'm meeting with a person to meet our puppies because we can't take them, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
And our friends who I thought were going to be here are going to be out of the country. So I am going to spend a pretty penny to have my puppies that are... you know, not fixed and not chipped, microchipped or whatever, basically be watched for, I mean, we're here for 8 days, so it's going to be great.
They'll be fine.
I'll feel good if they're with somebody. Like, I want them to be at someone's house, you know. But yeah, I'm digging the potential vacation that's about to happen. I'm very excited.
It's awesome. I'm super excited. I'm super excited. So the other thing that happened this week happened, you know, 2 nights ago is we had the Emmy Awards, and I know you didn't get to watch them, but you saw some of the highlights, and you know, it was a real mixed night. I overall really enjoyed it. I know that people had like wildly divergent thoughts about the host and about his whole running gag of, did you see what the running gag was?
No, I didn't.
So why am I blanking on his name right now? Nate Bargatze, is that his name?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Who I think is fine. I think that he's funny. He's not my brand of humor.
Yeah.
I watched the special that was nominated for the Emmy Award, and I didn't ever laugh, but like I smiled. Once again, it's so much of it is like, healthy food is gross and I don't read much. Like that's not funny.
But you can watch it with your kids. That's why.
100%. Yeah.
Which is
like,
not...
it's very family friendly. I get it. Once again, I'm not trying to like slam him at all. And I thought he did a fine job. And I actually really liked the opening. The opening was sort of this thing of like, first of all, I liked that it focused attention on Farnsworth, the inventor of the television, who Aaron Sorkin wrote a really cool play about many, many years ago that got very overshadowed by a tiny little play called August Osage County that sort of sucked up all the oxygen in the room. But it was kind of like fun to see him play this Farnsworth character and sort of talk about like the television that, you know, some people thought it was kind of hacky, and I get that, but like to me it was just funny. It was like a funny way to open of like in the future there'll be, you know, I'm trying to think of like examples where it's like there'll be Travel Channel all about travel and like someone's like in the History Channel all about aliens, and you know there'll be no learning on the Learning Channel and like that kind of thing, which was funny. Like I thought it was funny. And at some point, he talks about the Emmy Awards, and one of the other guys is like, it's like an Oscar? And he's like, well, no, don't. It's one of the good ones. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of like, it was just funny. Like, it was silly and funny. And then, so the running gag was that he was like, I'm donating $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of America. and you have 45 seconds for an acceptance speech. Any second you go over, we deduct $1,000 from
that. Oh my God.
Which in the moment, as it was being said, was both like, oh my God, and like funny,
yeah.
You know, and like people kind of played with it. Like some of the people got up and they were like, out. So that, because if you went under, $1,000 got added to it.
Oh my God.
So then he would get kind of like mad at people that went too fast. And like, if someone went too slow, he was like, oh, you just cost money. And it just, it was that thing that was funny until it wasn't anymore. It was funny until it was kind of like a distraction where it felt like, like one of the things that I really wanted to happen, and this is to say nothing of the other nominees, is that, you know, the Pit did very, very well. And and Catherine Lanasa, who plays Nurse Dana, won.
Her.
And like, she's so good on that show. And it's so hard because Carrie Coons in White Lotus and everything she does is so good. And like Parker Posey is in that category. And it, like everyone is so good. But I was so happy for Catherine Lanasa, this actress who was
too.
Like, she's been working for like 40 years, and it's as though we just discovered her yesterday.
I know. And did you see what her husband said? Where he was like, she was in the back. Anyways, it was basically saying, I just want to thank my husband for like the thousands and thousands of self-tapes he's helped me do, you know?
Sure.
She's been working her ass off for so many years.
Yeah. And so it felt like this, like, just such a beautiful moment. And then it was kind of, like, shat on a little bit by, like, well, that was a long end to your speech. And I'm like, she was thanking her husband. Like, I don't know. It was once again.
Yeah.
And in the end, it was a gag. In the end, it didn't make any difference. In the end, like, they donated $250,000 and CBS added $100,000 to it. Like, it wasn't even a real thing. And I will say another one that won that I was really happy for, though I love so many people in the category, is that Hannah Einbinder finally won for the fourth season of Hacks.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. And even she was like, I'll make up the difference. Like, she was kind of like, I'm going to talk and I will donate the money.
Yeah.
And that kind of became a thing as well. And, you know, the two things that I knew, that I had no doubt in my mind, was that Kathy Bates was going to win for Matlock.
Oh.
And that Harrison Ford was going to win for Shrinking. And then they both did not win, you know.
Mm.
Britt, woman from Severance. Britt Lowry, I think. Oh, God. The lead actress from Severance ended up winning. And she's amazing. She's so good in that and, like, had such a great season. And I wasn't at all upset about it, but I was genuinely shocked. And then Jeff Hiller. Like,
Hiller is
so wild. And I was 100% certain and was already really happy for Harrison Ford to, like, finally win a major award. But that was awesome. Like, Jeff Hiller winning for Somebody Somewhere. The only vague downside is that it then gave me hope that Bridget Everett might win for writing.
Oh.
And then they didn't, you know. Like, it would have been a nice send-off for both of them to, like, get an Emmy. And I'm also going to tell this story real fast, is that that moment was totally spoiled for me.
How do you know? I mean, like,
Because I'm on a group chat. And I looked at it and I didn't see it, but I saw someone responding of like, Mike's at work, don't spoil it. And then I was like, can you just text each other a whole bunch so that I won't see whatever it is? I didn't even know who wrote it. Like, I didn't know what was written. I don't know who it was written by. And they were like, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, I'm in no worry of that being spoiled now. I don't know how it happened, Vanya. I literally, as I was like making my cocktail and heating up my food to go into the living room and watch the show, I glanced at my watch and the only thing that was up was, OMG, did Jeff Hiller just win an Emmy Award?
Oh, shit.
Like, somehow it had like flashed back to that moment. So it was fine. It was fine. But I was like, oh, okay, that won't be a surprise, I guess. But, you know, I just thought it was a fun night and I was so happy for him. And, you know, I don't dislike the studio. It's just not
for me.
I watched the whole thing. I watched every episode.
Okay.
Respect for those that are on it, like respect for the filmmaking. It's just so cynical. I just can't watch things when there's, and someone can argue with me on this. To me, there's just no heart. Like, it's like, just there's no, it's just all so cynical and so like, here's another episode where he does something that gets him into trouble. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do this again.
I thought Bryan Cranston was freaking hilarious.
He's
hilarious. Like, that
and
acting
is
master. Masterpiece.
Yeah. Was not
so
at all
funny.
Mad about it. I wasn't mad about any of it winning.
Yeah.
I just, once again, for me, it's just not my show. Like, it's just not a show that I will watch it and I'm just kind of like, oh, okay.
And what's the lady from Penguin? What's her name? I loved her in that
Kristen
one
Milioti,
Palm
I
Springs.
I hope I'm saying her name right. She is Now, here's the other thing. That was the other issue, is that I just love Dying for Sex so much.
Oh, right.
Really wanted Michelle Williams, except Kristen Milioti is batshit crazy good in a show that I don't like. I don't like Penguin very much. It, once again, was not my show. Her performance is revelatory.
Oh, God.
Like, truly an incredible, like, cannot be mad about it win. Yeah, she's really, and her speech was just so joyful, and she's just so clearly like happy to be in the room and happy to like be doing this for a living. And yeah, it was, that was also a really really fun moment.
I know, it made me jealous. I only saw a clip of it where she's like, I love acting, and I'm like, I do too.
I know.
It's fine.
I know. I have kind of a story about that, but I'm going to save it for later because I want to give it a little more time. But yeah, I have those moments. I have those moments where I'm like, oh, right. This almost was mine. Not really, but you know what I mean. Yeah. And then, yeah, in the end, The Pit. Like, I just think The Pit is one of the greatest things to come around
really
in a long time.
Entertaining, and it's freaking amazing. And I can't wait for the next season.
Same. And I guess that they're like halfway through finishing the filming the second season.
Really?
And so that'll be coming out next January. And yeah, so for Noah Wiley to finally win an Emmy Award, and not for nothing, like, the studio and The Pit are first season shows. Like, shows don't really win for their first seasons anymore. Yeah. And that's kind of awesome that like these two shows came out of kind of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then ended up dominating in their fields. And that's cool. I'm not mad about that. I also just heard this today. So, you know, breaking news, not really from me, is that next season of Hacks will be the final season, the fifth and final season, which I like that. Yeah. I like it when like they have a vision, they know where they want to go with it.
Me too.
And the studio lets them do it. Where it's like, this is it. Let's bring it home. So I'm excited for that show has never flagged for me. Like, I just think it's been so cool from the beginning.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited for them to like go out the way they want to go out. So yeah,
I'm excited to see that too. Yeah awesome,
a fun night. Anything you could do without this week?
Oh gosh, you know, just honestly I think it's social media. It's like the fact that we can see anything at all times, like murder.
Yeah, I didn't see the clip that you're talking about, and I'm glad that I haven't. It's not something that like I would go after, and I don't know what to say about that situation other than we cannot solve our problems by shooting people on the street. We just can't. Like, however you feel about anything, cannot be the solution. And it won't be the solution. It will not make things better.
No, exactly. You're right. Yeah. And then even like my parents are so sweet, but they're like, my mom never gets on social media, but he's always on Facebook or whatever. You know, it's people, not that he's sharing things that aren't necessarily real, but I'm like, you know, there's so much stuff that's just not real or fact check. Even I get excited because sometimes I see stuff and they're like, high schooler in Iceland made, you know, a way to make water for millions. I'm like, I want that to be true so bad, but it's not, or whatever. It's like making plastic blah out of, and then making, I just could do without like that noise and that like disinformation. You know, it's so stupid.
Yeah, it's why I don't, like, I never repost anything. I'll occasionally, like, thumbs up a certain thing. But I'm like, I don't know what's real. Like, I don't know what's accurate. So
even my good friend who, she's got little, anyways, she shared an article that she didn't know. She shared the article, but with some friends and it linked to the video of a shooting. She's like, I didn't know I shared that. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Ugh.
It's just an icky place to be.
Yeah, I had to get rid of, I think we kind of talked about this, like I got rid of a couple of games on my phone because I was am I doing? Like, I'm not winning. Like, I'm not winning this. Like, this is not, those distractions.
I could also say I could do without Roblox, which is like, the kids like it. They don't play anywhere where they're with other people, but it is, I just read this horrible article and I know from personal friends, things have happened where kids get like predators come after them, teach them how to disable stuff. And they're not protecting, Roblox is not protecting the kids. They're protecting their business. It's such absolute disgusting bullshit. And I haven't finished the article, but it's about how basically Roblox is creating hyper consumers, like consumerism. They're just like, like my parents, I never give my kids money for any of that, but
I'm an adult.
They have before.
Right. I'm an adult and I get caught up in it. And even when it's not giving money, like this dumb, like Tetris type of game that I'm like, it doesn't want me to win. Like it wants me to have to watch another like 2 minute ad. And it,
right.
Like I'm just giving into it. I'm just like, sure. Okay. Like, yeah. So I get that. Those little distractions. I have a really like random story that I didn't tell that's from a couple weeks ago. And that is, I didn't mention that when I was in Atlanta with my family, not Atlanta. Well, I was, but when I was in Georgia with my family and Helen, I saw a bear, but like I saw like out in the wild. And they're around there and I'm very aware of it. I don't have to talk about this. Like my fear is that like, I want the bear to know that I'm its friend. Like I want to like hug it. And I'm very aware that I can't do that. So I was walking into town, like my family that lives there kind of like lives up in like sort of a mountainy section. And I was like coming down this road and I saw a bear cross the road. And I was like, I'm just going to stand here for a minute and let the bear make its way across the road.
Oh my
and then I'm
going to
stand a little bit and make sure there are no little bears that are following it. Because, you know, that's what you really don't want is you don't want
right.
like to get in between bear and little bear. So it was fine. I gave it some time and it kind of wandered away. But I was kind of like, oh, yeah, it's just bears. It's just bears walking across the street here in Helen. But yeah, that's all. Terrifying. I saw a bear. How about you? Anything random or just...
Anything random. Well, so I do talk about it. I am, you know, I have I thrive with ADHD and I have been trying to finish painting my handrail or not. What do they call it? The banister. And it's been a year and a half and I've given myself 2 days now because I want to get it done before Adam gets home. And I'm just saying it. It's random because I have to do it. I got to make a pot of coffee tonight and just like do it. I can't do it. No, I could do it. I could do it. I got to finish painting it.
You can do it.
But it's been embarrassing because like all of it's done except for this one big area at the top. It is all brown and it needs to be white. How do people get things done? I just stopped seeing it, to be honest with you. I just stopped seeing it.
All of my shelves in my closet behind me, like, fell out.
Oh.
And it's because I've had to move it so many times that, like, I just think that, like, I wore the little... So I have to, like, buy longer screws. So, like, all my boxes are sitting in a pile there, and I don't see it anymore. I'm just like, that's just where they live
like
now.
Me.
And I'm like, you just need to... It's going to take, like, an hour of your time, probably. Maybe a little bit more than that. Like, just do it. But I totally get it. Then I'm like, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. And also, for, like, painting, I always will get paint on my clothes, so I have to change my whole outfit. And then I'm like, oh, that's so much to do. I don't want to change. Yeah. But I'm going to do it tonight.
I feel you.
I'm
all right. Let's get our things done.
Yep. Let's do it.
All right. Awesome. All right. Well, I think we never know. We'll try to be back next week.
Yes.
We'll see how it goes.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. I love you.
I love you,
all right,
too.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursdays, so make sure you subscribe if you want to be a part of the journey. You can follow us on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and me at Mike Jensen 77. You can also listen to my other podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, with Elise Castle, wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back.
We had you. You're swirling around. I'm like, I'm on an adventure. Right now. I'm like on a roller coaster. I'm gonna throw my hands in the air.
There we go.